Welcome back into the show. It's time for the Lunch Rush, where we take a look at the top trending stories in the sports world. And Luka Doncic is off to a sizzling start to the season. It's been 60 years since the NBA has seen an opening scoring streak like what we're seeing with Luka. He has scored at least 30 points in each of the Mavericks' first seven games. That's the longest 30-point streak to start a season since Wilt Chamberlain in 1962, the 62-63 season. It's only been accomplished three times. I mean, just averaging 30 points. He's actually averaging 36.1 points per game. According to ESPN Stats and Information Research, that is the third highest scoring average through seven games. Wow. In the last, well, that's just in the last 60 seasons. That's behind Michael Jordan, who did 37 in the 86-87 season. James Harden did it, too, in 2019 and 2020. That guy, Luka's ridiculous, man. Is he the best player in the NBA? Or is Joker still the best player?
Two-time MVP, NBA superstar. They're close. They're 1A, 1B right now.
Yeah, I mean, and Luka's just tearing it up. It's hard for me not to say Luka's the best player right now. Like, based on what I've seen this season, he's the best player right now. Again, long season ahead of us, and we'll find out. But Joker, hey, Joker needs to have monster games, too. He needs to have some of these. He's the triple-double guy, though. Luka's going to be the scoring guy. Joker's going to even everything out, which is, again, why he's so valuable to his team overall. This Louisville thing, they avoid major sanctions, including former coaches Rick Pitino and Chris Mack. An independent panel placed Louisville's men's basketball on 2 years probation. They fined the program $5,000. Okay, $5,000. But spared the school and former coaches Rick Pitino and Chris Mack major penalties from NCAA allegations leveled in the aftermath of a federal investigation of corruption in college basketball. They announced that Thursday they avoided the postseason ban, all that stuff. Pitino was asked, hey, now that this is all behind you, do you think you'll jump to a bigger job right now? And he's like, yeah, I like where I am. I'm happy where I am. Yeah, that's lip service. There, it seems like it's done then, right? Is this we're seeing the sanctions come out with this FBI thing that's been going on for several years. Are we getting over the hump?
Hope so.
And does this change things? Do we stop breaking the law? At some point, you got to. Good boy. I watched last night's game. I got home really late, and I watched the end of Lakers-Pelicans. And I was like, oh, there's Matt Ryan. There's where Matt Ryan is. No, the Lakers' Matt Ryan hits a crazy three at the last second to send this game to overtime. And the Lakers beat the New Orleans Pelicans last night. So are the Lakers starting to figure it out? They're 2-5. They got two wins on the season. Probably not. I don't think they're a good team. But for one night, Matt Ryan was the hero. Here's a tough story that, boy, we've kind of been following this along a little bit, but a former clinical psychologist for the Spurs filed a lawsuit Thursday morning alleging that the organization ignored her repeated reports of indecent exposure by Joshua Primo. He was a 2021 lottery pick. He was released by the team last week. According to the lawsuit, Primo exposed himself to Dr. Hillary Cawthon a total of 9 times. The first incident allegedly occurred during a psychological session with Primo in December of 2021 and was reported to Spurs management in January of 2022. It's basically going on and saying things like that they covered it up. The Spurs covered this thing up. They ignored her complaints. They were hoping that the organization would ignore everything. And according to the report, according to the lawsuit, the Spurs organization was willing to sacrifice Dr. Cawthon to keep what they hoped would one day be a star player. Once Primo's conduct entered the public sphere, the Spurs were forced to act and release Primo. The Spurs' recent actions with regard to Primo are too little too late, according to the lawsuit. 9 times? I mean, this is We're kind of entering that Deshaun Watson territory here.
Well, the fact that it's nine times and the organization is allegedly trying to cover it up, I think that's the bigger story.
Right. Well, and that's obviously something's going on.
In the service of, oh, he's going to be a good player. And we saw that with Deshaun Watson. It was, oh, he's still a great player. That's why Cleveland gave up so much for him. But we can put aside the allegations and lawsuits.
Mm. Oh, boy. Sounds like the Spurs are in for a battle here coming up. Jeff Bezos is
Amazon
interested
guy.
In purchasing the Commanders and partnering up with Jay-Z. Is that my first thought was, is that a conflict of interest, though? Because he owns Amazon. They have Amazon football now on Thursday night, which we'll see tonight between the Eagles and the Texans. Is that some kind of a conflict of interest to own a network that you're going to have, you're going to promote teams and other teams? I guess not. If he's interested, I would imagine somebody would shut that down pretty quickly. Is Dan Snyder selling the team? Sure seems like it.
It does seem like it. We saw earlier this week he was working with Bank of America to work on getting the transaction finalized. We're not sure yet if it's going to be a full sale or just a minority portion of the organization. But yeah, Jeff Bezos, that's a name that was floated around the Broncos a little bit.
Yeah.
So now floating around with the Commanders and Jay-Z, that's an interesting partnership.
He had support interest back in 2019, too, but possibly partnering up with, Jay-Z. The rapper previously owned a stake in the Brooklyn Nets. Did he sell his stake? I thought he still had it. I guess not. Well, there you go. That's the top stories trending nationally. Have you been paying attention to this Kyrie Irving thing, too?
I've been seeing a bit of it this morning. I guess he put out a statement.
He tweeted a documentary, right?
He tweeted a documentary that was on Amazon that had some anti-Semitic stuff involved with it.
Yep.
And he put out a statement, and he made this massive donation, I think, to a community, to a nonprofit in Brooklyn that works with anti-hate violence and all that kind of stuff. And he's kind of getting backlash from it because he didn't really apologize for his endorsement
of
the movie. He just
said, I take responsibility for it. That's basically what he said. He didn't really apologize. He said some things were questionable in there. Some things that were questionable in there, untrue. Like I said in the first time you guys asked me when I was sitting on that stage, I don't believe everything that everybody posts. It's a documentary. So I take my responsibility. Adam Silver's furious. He's disappointed that Irving has not offered an unqualified apology and more specifically denounced the vile, harmful content contained in the film he chose to publicize. I haven't seen the film. I haven't heard of the film. I don't know. Is it like a conspiracy type documentary that's saying, I have no clue. I have zero clue about what's happening with this documentary. But Irving's kind of standing his ground. He said, I didn't mean to cause any harm. I'm not the one that made the documentary. He's not apologizing. Definitely not apologizing. None of that is happening at this point.
I saw some other complaints that why aren't we going after Amazon themselves for hosting this movie documentary? And it's in their guidelines, offensive products policy that they have. Prohibits the sale and promotion of these products, but that really only applies. That doesn't apply to books, music, or video.
I don't know. I mean,
I'm confused about. He said what he said, and he made a statement about. He made a donation, whatever. Why are we getting upset that it wasn't an apology? When he didn't directly endorse this film, he's not a part of it. He's not promoting it for himself. He just said something about it.
He just retweeted it or what?
Yeah, he just retweeted it.
Well, they say on Twitter, it's not always an endorsement, just if you retweet something. Kyrie Irving's kind of been in the news a lot, off and on. It's a strange world that we're living in, too, because, I mean, that's something that he's into, apparently, watching this documentary. And some snippets in there are not good. They're anti-Semitic. Should he have to apologize? If he's making the documentary and he's the guy doing it, then probably should be the one apologizing. But just looking more and more into the story, you talk about Amazon too. Who carries Spotify and everybody that carries Kanye West music. Like, they're not taking the music down.
Right. Because they put out a statement, but they're not going to take his music.
The music doesn't have anti-Semitic stuff in the songs. Do you agree? I agree with that, though, right? I mean, it's not that the song... There's a lot of people that make music that we don't agree with.
Yeah, there's the saying, can you separate the art from the artist? And I think, you know, Kanye's a good example of that. Of course, he's very polarizing, and a lot of the stuff he says is just stupid and, you know, irresponsible, and the things that he does, can't judge that. But he's an artist, and he puts out a product that, for years before all this, people enjoyed it.
I mean, and I know Michael Jackson, I guess, wasn't technically found guilty.
Yeah, but there's controversy with
it. But there's controversy, and people still listen to that. People still listen to that. And again, it's, well, Kanye West hasn't been found guilty of anything.
Right.
It's not a criminal act.
It comes out of this cancel culture movement and all that stuff. If one person's associated with it in any way, you're automatically, you know, painted as the bad guy. And that kind of feels what's happening with Kyrie Irving here. You know, he might have just said the wrong thing at the wrong time, and everyone just combines it together with Kanye and the documentary and says, oh, they're all associated. And I don't think that's the case.
It's just, we're in this world now where we're trying to govern people to just be nice to everyone. I don't know. Like Jerry Jones, did you see that? They're mad at him now. He wore a referee costume for Halloween, and he was a blind referee. And so now he's getting in trouble. The NFB is coming at him. The National Federation of the Blind is upset, and they're coming after him. TMZ reported Halloween costumes like Jerry Jones's blind referee play into stereotypes that the visually impaired are incompetent. So says the National Federation of the Blind, which tells TMZ Sports these kind of outfits are harmful. Jerry dressed up in a ref uniform, sported sunglasses and a walking stick over the holiday weekend in an attempt to playfully go after NFL officials for missing penalty calls. Chris Danielson, the NFB's director of PR, tells TMZ that when anyone perpetrates that stereotype, it's harmful, pointing out nearly 70% of blind people are unemployed. Listen, we can be offended by everything. And would I do that? Not a big Halloween guy. I'll dress up as Batman and call it a night. But we are getting to that point where this is nothing illegal. Kanye West did nothing illegal. Kyrie Irving did nothing illegal. Jerry West did nothing illegal. Was it in good taste? Were any of those things in good taste? No. Were some of them hateful? Yeah. Kanye West is being hateful, and he's really annoying, and never a big fan of his anyway. No, I was never a fan of his anyway. But you know what I do? I just choose to go away from it. I just go away from it. You know, I remember, not comparing necessarily, but growing up watching Married with Children, they had this coalition, this like mom's group that was trying to get that show canceled. My kids are going to see that. They're going to go turn the TV. Don't watch it. There's horror movies with murders going on. Are they watching? Are you going to try to go after that too? Don't let them watch it. What do you make of this stuff, man?
It makes me just shake my head and just in disbelief. Like this Jerry Jones thing, I'm just reading about it now. Like, we're going after a millionaire old white dude that just was having a fun at a Halloween party? How many other blind referees have you seen at a Halloween party in the last 20 years or so? It's a joke.
So can we not have the phrase anymore? Like, are you blind? Like, that's a saying. That's a saying.
I mean, we can't say anything now. You can't use anything to describe somebody, one, without their permission, or two, without their, you know, without them getting upset about it.
Yeah, and I'm not trying to compare Kanye, Kyrie, Jerry. I'm just saying that
there's situations where we overreact. Well, and like, you did this thing, you're automatically the worst person ever.
We have enough stuff legally to deal with. This Primo story, right? That's a situation that needs investigated. But now we're trying to control people's thoughts. Dude, right now, you tell me everybody in the NFL, every player, every person is there's not one person that has perhaps some racist views. That's why I laugh. I don't laugh at it, but when it's like stop hate, you know, the Madden games in the back, it's like be good, stop hate and do all that stuff. It's like, while we're at it, just stop murders then. If you guys can fix it with all this stuff that you're trying to do, just stop all of it. There's bad people in the world, and maybe Kyrie Irving's not a good dude. Maybe Kanye West is not a good dude. But that's, you know, that's tough. Sometimes you just have to deal with stuff like that. Like Jerry Jones dressed as a blind guy. He dressed as a blind referee. Does that bother some blind people out there? Maybe it does. It probably does.
Are there some out there that think that's funny?
Probably
so. I'm sure there is.
Yes. So I, again, I'm not one of those guys that really does this kind of stuff. I don't really make fun of that kind of thing. And it can be offensive, and I can understand where parents with kiddos and all that stuff, I get it. I'm a dad, all that stuff. But you know what I do? I've watched comedians before where they've said some things, and I'm going, all right, that crossed the line. Like, you know, obviously Bob Saget's gone, passed away, what, a year ago. Some of his comedy was like, it would bother me, dude. Some of his Full House remarks about Michelle, like, I was like, holy cow, are you serious? And I would just go away from it. I just shut it off. That's what we have to do. Now, if it's crossing over in the of the line of being something illegal, yeah, sure. We have to fight that. We have to get after it. But I just want to, we got to be careful here with, oh, well, he tweeted a documentary out. He's saying he didn't make the documentary. He's saying, hey, there's stuff in there that's untrue. All right, I guess, kind of.
And how many people would have watched that documentary had he not said anything about it?
Right.
And suddenly it's a story because a superstar NBA player said something about it.
And that's just, it's where we're getting right now is we're too busy focused on mean stuff. Because is it mean? Is it hateful? Yeah, it is. Is what Jerry Jones did, is it mean to blind people? I suppose you could make that case.
But it's more offensive to the referees.
Probably.
Is there a ref coalition that's upset about it?
I mean, the blind ref thing has been a costume forever.
It's a running joke.
It's a joke.
It's not just football. You hear it in every sport.
We are in an industry now where it's like, how do comedians do it? You can't make fun of anything anymore. And that's,
well, you have to go at both sides.
And I get it. There's lines. And for me personally, I know what to do when there's lines. I'm not going to get a petition together to remove any and all comedians' stuff away from social platforms. I'm just not going to see it. I'm just not going to view it. And I think that that's something we have to take control of. If Kyrie Irving, and I haven't seen the documentary, and listen, it could be terrible in there. And if it probably is. There's probably stuff in there that's terrible. I won't see it. But I don't follow Kyrie Irving on Twitter. Now, if he does something illegal, then yeah, we need to talk about it. We need to get that guy out of the league. All that stuff. We need to spend a little more time keeping the Deshaun Watsons out of the NFL than worrying about Jerry Jones wearing a blind referee costume. I guess that's just where my brain went right off the bat. Because does it bother me? It's in poor taste. Yes, it's in poor taste. But that's not something that we're going to have to go through a legal battle to fight. I just want to be careful with this stuff, man. You know, people are mad at what's the guy? Why am I the Twitter guy, the Iron Man guy?
Oh, Elon Musk.
Why is he getting so much crap now?
The big thing right now is that on Twitter, if you want to get the little verification check mark to show that you're really who you say you are, and it's mostly used for like celebrities, reporters, and stuff. So if you see a report from the New York Times, you know it's from them and not some fake account. But he wants to charge users $8 a month for the checkmark. And, you know, people are upset that, oh, you're making us pay for free speech or we can't use Twitter now. And like, no, it's
you're not
literally
paying
an
for
extra
free
fee
speech
to become a verified person. You're on Twitter. You're not verified. But everyone who follows Brady Hull knows, oh, that's Brady Hull.
Right.
You don't need the checkmark to do it. And you could say whatever you want on there. You have to be careful because it represents the show and the station and all that, but you have a free to say whatever you want on Twitter.
Wow.
It's dumb. People will just freak out over anything.
$8 for a check mark. If you're that worried about a check mark on
Twitter,
it's
not even real.
Then you are silly. You want it bad enough, go pay $8 for it.
Make a unique username. Add a number or a letter or something to make it different.
I don't know,
man. Be unique. What happened to uniqueness? We can't all just be put in the box anymore.
We don't want it anymore. A lot of people don't want it anymore. They want everybody to be the exact same way of thinking, that we have to agree with everybody's lifestyle and choices, and we just have to be on the same page of everything. And if you're not, then you're a bad guy. And maybe in some cases you are, I guess, but yikes. And then Twitter, my gosh, they're ripping this guy apart. 26 minutes after the hour. Short break coming up. We'll get to more on the Denver Broncos, the Denver Nuggets back in action tonight. Our poll question of the day presented by Method Flow Products. Do you think the Bradley Chubb move is in some way a signaling of waving the white flag? 26 minutes after the 12 o'clock hour, it's the whole show powered by PDC Energy on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
The UNC Bears playing Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Adam Matas with DNVR, the DNVR Bar, and the DNVR Nuggets podcast, and you're listening to The Whole Show with Brady Hall.
Welcome back into The Whole Show. I want to shout out to On the Rocks Liquor for bringing us our game beer of the week. This one's from Odell Brewing in Fort Collins. It's an isolation ale. Check out my guys at On the Rocks Liquor, the best liquor store around. Weekend's coming up. Maybe it's going to be cold. You're hunkering down for the night to watch some great Thursday night football, maybe. I don't know. Do check out my friends at On the Rocks Liquor. They're off of Highway 34 in Greeley and 47th Avenue. Very close to Buffalo Wild Wings, if you know that spot. Tell them we sent you here from The Whole Show, powered by PDC Energy. B-Rad says, yeah, it's like Dixon being offended by losing to a GIF. Maybe not quite like that, but, you know, got this texter coming in, too, from the 970. When there were three hockey officials instead of four, three blind mice was frequently played every time they took the ice, and I don't recall any controversy. Yeah, I mean, that kind of stuff is, I guess we're just trying to regulate all of that out, where we're almost robots. We don't say anything offensive. We don't offend anybody. We all think the exact same, and that's just not going to ever happen.
Yeah, it's like a weird post-apocalyptic movie.
Kind of.
Everything's chrome. Everyone wears these pale gray suits.
Feels like it, doesn't it?
Yeah. And there's no advertisements for anything because that could offend somebody.
You can't offend
anybody. No McDonald's. There's vegans out there.
Yeah. Can't eat. Talk about eating cows.
No.
Can't talk about. I mean, again, I know those are extremes, but.
Where does it end?
The guy wore a Halloween costume. And I'm saying, yes, there are Halloween costumes that are a little worse than others. That where you go, okay, you can't do that. Like dressing up as a KKK guy. Yeah. Yeah, I get it. No. There's certain groups that demonstrate actual hate and crime and all that stuff. It's tough. I get it. But then my brain also goes to guys dress up as like Tony Soprano.
I mean, there are people out dressed as Jeffrey Dahmer this year.
Probably. I don't know, man. That's the thing. Like, where's the line? Smitty says, I'm offended that you're not offended by everything.
I'm offended that Smitty's offended.
I'm offended by that, actually. I'm offended that everyone's offended, which makes me offended.
Stop offending.
I just, there's a limit. But the thing is, when we start adding everything to this mix, then if you start saying, like, Jerry Jones, you're in trouble for wearing a blind ref outfit. Okay, you can't do that. You're going to be sued now. Whatever. I don't know.
We're going to take away a draft pick.
Right.
Or something stupid.
Or what was it that Jack Del Rio did? He called it a dust up. He said dust up, the January 6th thing. And he got fined for that. He called it a, what is a dust up? A fight, kind of, right? Well, I guess it kind of was. There's just a lot of stuff going on in this world where it's like, golly. There is no line anymore because we're all supposed to be kind of just in one in a nutshell. Like, we all think the same. We all do the same thing. Nobody offends. How does a comedian do it anymore? Like, how does it? I honestly don't know. And I'm not excusing garbage stuff that's like really bad. I'm not excusing that. But my goodness, there used to be a separation of, okay, that's the line. Some comedians believe there is no line.
And that might be a mentality that works for them. If you go at everybody, you offend everyone, there's no one left to be not offended.
I think South Park did an episode on that, too. It's like, hey, or no, I think the writers even talked about it because they went after Scientology, I think. They had that episode with Tom Cruise and stuff. And Scientology went nuts, the Church of Scientology or whatever. And they're like, dude, it's a make-believe. They're characters. They're little kids. And we're writing this stuff in. Plus, we make fun of every religion. There's not one religion we haven't touched.
South Park, they put that show together like a few days in advance sometimes.
Yes.
And that's why it stays so modern and it hits everything.
And that, it's like Family Guy. You know, they make fun of, they've dialed it back now too after everything that happened in 2020.
Oh, go watch like the first 5 seasons of Family Guy.
Oh my gosh. Big time. And it's the thing. It's like, my wife, for example, some of the things that I like, she doesn't like South Park. It bugs her. Some of the stuff that they do bugs her. So she doesn't watch it. Problem solved. I still watch it. You know, I watched the movie It the other night. And my wife, she does not get into that stuff. She's like, that stuff is so, ugh. She hates it. Horror movies. So she just chooses not to watch it. Like, whatever happened to that?
Well, Brady, you're not being a good enough husband. You should want your wife to watch whatever she wants to watch.
And she does. But, you know, and I don't watch it sometimes. I don't watch her stuff. But why? And again, if it's actually affecting you where you can't get away from it, okay. Now we have a conversation to have. Like, if you're going into a high school basketball game expecting to watch your kid play a sport and there's crazy offensive whatever stuff, like they have signs up or whatever, and they make it a political thing inside, vote for this person, I can see why you go, come on. You guys are going off on this stuff here and we're here to watch a basketball game. So if it's like you can't get away from it, I understand. But is Kyrie Irving out holding up signs during the game about this documentary? Is he talking about it without the reporters asking him about it?
Nope, it was literally a retweet.
He retweeted a documentary. I found so many players. 2020 separated a lot of people like in their thought process and what they were caring to tweet about. And I don't get into that stuff, so I unfollow people. That's what I can control. I can control what my child sees, what I see, what our family sees together. That's what we have to do. Now, obviously, you're going to go out in public, and you're going to see stuff sometimes, and you go, wow, that's just like right out there. That's not good. Choose to leave, I guess. Don't go to that place. Don't go to that movie if you're not into the message. That was like seriously, I bring up the Married with Children thing. It was such a big deal back in the day, dude. The dad from Modern Family, the older guy, can't think of his name. He had 4 touchdowns in high school in one game. It was amazing. They were like watching this just to get mad. This group of moms got together and they were watching it, just getting fueled and pissed off all the time. When all you got to do is walk up to the TV and stay away from it. It's not like, your style. Don't go with it.
We search for things to get upset about.
Yes.
And if you're not upset enough about it, you get upset.
I do. I think that's exactly right.
This person
right.
over here is not as upset as I am.
Yeah.
I'm upset with you because you're not upset.
It's kind of like the Russell Wilson stuff. If you don't like his corniness and cheesiness, then turn him off. Don't follow
him.
It's
hard when he's on primetime every week, Brady.
Well, they don't even show that stuff, though. Don't follow him on Twitter. Don't listen to interviews. If you hear, oh, here's Russell Wilson, turn it off. If it bothers you to the point where you're like, I hate that guy, then don't watch it. Just watch him when he puts his uniform on and plays, then make your stuff. But if it annoys you to the point where it's like, I can't handle this, then don't watch it. 39 minutes after the hour, let's get the latest on the local Sports Flash.
This is your UNC Bears head men's basketball coach, Steve Smiley, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA. Go Bears.
Future headlines.
So, here's what's going to happen.
Here's your headline. Some companies still know how business is done.
You take the pictures, I'll make up the headlines, okay? All right? Is that okay with you?
And we're back for some more future headlines today. Got a couple of them right last night. Memphis beating Portland Trailblazers.
We got it. We agreed on that.
We had the Cavs beating the Celtics. Mitchell went off yesterday.
That's right. So it was a little was scary game. For a second, yeah, but got it done, and he was the stud, so that worked.
And then the baseball one, I was confused on what game we were actually on and where it was being played. So I'm going to throw that one out.
Okay.
I thought we were still in Philly, but we're actually in Houston.
Who cares?
Oh, well. We had another game tonight, and that starts off our headline. This one works for two sports. Houston gets bell rung by Philly teams.
I did go with Houston last night, but I have been wrong most of these playoffs.
Like every night we got to switch teams.
Every other night. Wouldn't it make sense for the Phillies to go off tonight?
It would.
So why not? Let's go there. Phillies go off tonight. They win. They win big.
And that's a combo with the Eagles beating the Texans as well.
Ooh, big night for Philadelphia. Yeah. I think it could be a very big night for Philadelphia. Yeah.
Okay. Said earlier, the Nuggets are back in action tonight on the road in OKC, where Murray puts up 20 points back-to-back.
Now, Murray was so mad at himself after the Lakers game. He's like, I wish I could redo that entire fourth quarter. He was just pissed. So do you see him fired up, coming back, a few days off of rest, go off?
I do. Coming off the rest, you saw in that Lakers game, he kind of left the floor for what we thought would be the last time. And he was out for like 2-3 minutes, and then he got up and came back in, and we were kind of surprised because we thought he hit his minutes restriction.
Yeah.
But it feels like that might be going away a little bit more.
I think Jamal goes off. I do. I think he goes off tonight. I think he, because Joker, I think I looked at the over-under, is only like 22, which typically means we're not crazy about this matchup that OKC provides. That, you know, 23 points is still very good, but that maybe they're thinking Jeremiah Robinson Earl keeps him out of the paint, and Joker has to do some of his scoring outside of the paint. So, yeah, Jamal goes off tonight.
Right, and another one for the Nuggets. Jokic returns to MVP form in road win.
Now you're asking to say, okay, now you're asking, can Jamal Murray go off and Joker go off tonight?
30-20.
I mean, you're going to give me a headline with Joker in it to do something good. I can't go against it. More often than not, he's going to play like an MVP. So he'll probably play like an MVP tonight. Jamal will be a big part of that. I think we freak out tonight. I think the Nuggets go off tonight.
Yeah, I like Jokic to put up probably 30 and maybe, I think, a lot of assists. Like you said, and Murray will be a part of that. I think he gets a lot of assists tonight. Get the ball moving around. Get this offense clicking. Hopefully it passes on to the bench unit.
Gotta get the bench going. Yeah. Not worried about the starting unit at all. Just gotta get this bench rolling. And hopefully you can get big enough leads early on and you can give them some more work together.
Yep, that's all I have today.
We're on the same page. We're on the same page today.
That might be the first.
Let's see what happens tonight. Big Thursday night. All right, that's future headlines. Coming up in the 1 o'clock hour, we'll talk to CU Buffs head basketball coach Tad Boyle. He is 254 and 155 during his 12 seasons with Colorado. He needs 8 more wins to be the winningest coach in CU history. So we'll talk about that next. It's a whole show powered by PDC Energy on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
The UNC Bears playing Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hi, this is Terry Fry, author, journalist, screenwriter, and you're listening to Brady Hull on The Hull Show, 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back into the show. Glad you guys could be with us here on the whole show, powered by PDC Energy. We're live from the Allo Communications Studios. Tad Boyle coming up in the 1 o'clock hour. Looking forward to that interview always. Tad, great coach. And I've talked about Tad Boyle a lot on this show. I mean, look at what he's done. His time for the Buffs. Every single year, we say, yeah, there's a chance they're going dancing. That's huge. You don't just say that about any team all the time. No matter which star's coming back, no matter what he's, you know, no matter what star's leaving or whatever, Tad Boyle's always in the mix. He is on target this year to become the winningest head coach in CU history with a 254 and 155 career record with the Buffs. He needs just 8 more victories to surpass Colorado's all-time leader, Sox Walsiff, 261 and 245.
Here's their overall record the last few years. 21 and 12, 23 and 9, 21 and 11, 23 and 13. Their worst year with Tad Boyle was 16 and 18 in 2014.
Wow. I mean, that's, yes, you want to get into the second round of the NCAA tournament. You want to go deep into these tournaments. But the fact that you have a chance, you always have a chance to sit at that table every year, you say it every year about Tad, almost every year since he's been there.
Yeah, every time you put on the Pac-12 tournament and you see CU, hey, they got a shot to win this thing every single year.
They could do something crazy. We'll be interested to see kind of what this, you know, what the questions are surrounding this team. You know, they have a lot of young guys coming in. Julian Hammond III, KJ Simpson, Lawson Lovering, Luke O'Brien. Some of those guys are going to be expected to come in and be big pieces early on. But, you know, you have some good leaders, too. You pair those young guys coming in that could help out with Tristan Da Silva and Neat Clifford. There are some good players there. Are they the leaders? Is Tristan Da Silva going to be the guy, the leader overall? I mean, this team, over the last few years, just like McKinley Wright, Evan Batty, great leaders, great players. But again, that leader thing is important. Who's going to be the leader for the Colorado Buffaloes? That's what I'll be interested to see. They get their season going. They played Nebraska in an exhibition game on Sunday. They won 72-61. They play UC Riverside on Monday, then Grambling State on Friday, and Tennessee on Sunday. They're going to be in a tournament, too, the Myrtle Beach Invitational in the mid-month of November. So, yeah, I think Tanner asked me this morning. I popped on Good Morning NoCo, like, who I think has the best shot to go dancing between the teams. He didn't ask about Wyoming. I guess he was talking about in Colorado. Wyoming has the best shot. I really believe that.
CU also plays host to Colorado State and
yes.
UNC.
Yeah.
You can get a little trophy put together.
No, I think we should do this every year. I'll ask Tad about that, what he thinks of it. Because, again, you know, you always say, well, yes, yeah, CSU would be down for it. UNC obviously would be down for it. Would Wyoming? Probably. But CU's in the Pac-12. Is that something that he would be down for? Every year, some kind of round-robin situation. I think it'd be so good for the state.
Do like a little mountain trophy or something.
You combined all these basketball fans, get them together. You want to grow basketball in the state, get them all together. That's what I hope with UNC basketball fans this year. Because when I went to that CSU-UNC game, you know how many people in the stands, Angel, came up to me knowing, yeah, I'm not saying people knew who I was, but I was just there watching. I wore a black shirt so I could be in the middle.
You say at least two people.
At least two people.
And one of those was Steve Ivey.
Yes, Steve Ivey sitting right next to me. Nobody knew how good UNC was. They were like, why is this a game? Why are we losing by 11 right now?
That was Bodie's 30-point game, wasn't it?
Bodie went off. He wanted to beat CSU so badly. Kind of gave the crowd a little business. It was fun, and Rams fans loved it. This is something we can build. And I think that just builds up this scene around the state of Colorado.
UNC will have a national televised game against Weber State in February. In Greeley, it will be on ESPNU.
Nice.
So national recognition. Let's pack out that arena and show them that Greeley is a basketball town if it wants to be.
Yeah, we want to get people going, man. Get people to that game.
It's a good team. Very, very good team.
Two stud players. How often can you say, hey, you have two guys that could easily – Matt Johnson could surprise people and win Big Sky Player of the Year. I think it's going to be Dalen. But Matt is in that conversation. You have two players of that caliber. So get out and watch basketball. Whether it's CU, UNC, CSU, Moby Madness, get that rolling. Let's make this a basketball state. I'm so excited for it. Tad Boyle coming up next. Stay tuned. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy.